Okay, in our Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. So as you go through your books in the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 12, and this ought to be interesting reading, and it's going to be an interesting message and series coming up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start with verse number 1. And if you have your place in your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, we have pew Bibles you're more than welcome to use here this morning. But if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Good, let's stand while God... Hey, even Christian said amen on that one. Probably before he ever says mom or dad, he's going to say amen. That'll be okay. Starting with verse number 1 in 1 Corinthians, God's word says this. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I pray your blessing upon this scripture as we have read it here this morning. I pray that this scripture transforms our lives. I pray your blessing upon the message that I'm about to give here today and over the next several weeks as we take this journey on talking about spiritual gifts. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will learn a whole lot more about these gifts than what we did before we walked in here today. I praise you, Lord, for the transformation that you're going to do in each and every one of us. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Well, today we're going to begin a new multi-week sermon series on spiritual gifts. And I use the term multi-week because when I first thought about doing this, I thought, well, it's going to go 3 weeks. Well, it's already up to 6, and who knows how long it's going to go. So I'll just say multi-week because it's going to last more than just 1 week. We're not going to look at each and every individual gift, but in later weeks, we are going to look at 3 gifts in particular and spend 1 week on each one. But for today, I want to lay a very important foundation concerning these things called spiritual gifts. And we must understand the reason they exist and God's purpose behind Christians having them. So to launch off this series, I'm going to give you an analogy, sort of like a story time, that will help lay the foundation for this topic of something we call spiritual gifts. Just a little background on myself. Most of you know this. I am what they call a bivocational pastor. Bi meaning two, vocation meaning jobs. I have 2 jobs. When I'm not preparing a sermon or serving the church here at Beech Grove, I work 40 hours a week at McClung Companies over in Waynesboro, Virginia. Oh, Waynesboro. You know it's in Virginia, right? Waynesboro. I work in their shipping department. I pack and I ship boxes 8 hours a day. Well, since the management of my company wants me to be effective and efficient at what I do and at my job, they have provided me with the necessary tools for my trade, for this job of packing and shipping boxes. The 4 main tools that I use every day are this. I use my box cutter. I cut boxes. I use my tape gun. I tape boxes back up again. I use my pallet jack to wheel skids all around the place. And I use my computer and my printers to print labels for the boxes that I'm going to ship out. Guaranteed that without these four items in particular, the job that I do would never, ever get done. My company made sure that I was properly equipped to do this job. Why? For two reasons. The better that I do my job, one, the better that they will look in the community, and two, the better that they can serve their customers. Well, of course, along with what they've given me to do this job, I brought some of my own expertise into the job, such as my organizational skills. My wife prefers to call it OCD. I prefer to call it organizational skills. And I also brought some computer knowledge that also, and both these things helped me get this job, my job, done better. And it's all for the benefit of my company and for our customers. So there are some talents that I brought to the table, and there are some gifts, some tools, some resources that my company gave me and also brought to the table. And when all of these are used correctly, the job gets done well and everybody wins. Let's shift gears. God wants our walk as Christians to be effective and efficient also. And to do this, there are tools that you and I need as Christians, as believers. And the Bible calls these tools spiritual gifts. So what is a gift? Well, actually, we answered that question a couple weeks ago when we were talking about saving grace, when we were talking about behind the cross of Jesus. And we answered it this way a couple weeks ago. A gift is something that someone else gives you. And a gift is always what? Free. A gift is free. If it's not free, then it's not a gift. It's a wage. If I have to earn it, it no longer is a gift. It becomes a wage. And this is really critical to know. And what I want to point out first is, if you have a bulletin with you here today, if you got a copy of this morning's bulletin, I want you to open it up to the middle section. And here on the left-hand side, there's a little icon there, and there's a little gift box, and it says spiritual gifts. And right underneath there, I am going to read something about spiritual gifts. It says this: they are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, they cannot be taught. They are gifts. Now, what I would like the congregation to do here this morning is we're going to say that again, because I want us all to repeat this, because we have to understand this as a foundation for spiritual gifts. Ready? They are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, they cannot be taught. They are gifts. Excellent. Remember, if I can earn it, or if I can learn it, or if I can buy it, or if I can teach it, then it's not a gift. But it is a gift. You know, back in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25, there's an interesting story there about a man named Simon. And he was practicing magic. Some Bibles call him Simon the Sorcerer. And during that time, Simon's kind of there, and Peter and John, they perform a miracle right in the midst of all these people. And Simon, the sorcerer, the magician, he sees this, and what's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to buy this power that John and Peter have. And Simon says this: give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Well, this kind of hit Peter the wrong way, okay? Peter kind of didn't like what Simon said. And Peter answered him and he said this: may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and you are captive to sin. You know, the apostles at that point in time, back in the first century, they had a God-given gift. And Simon, he wanted that gift. He wanted it so bad that he was willing to pay for it. Well, newsflash, Beechgrove, I'm going to tell you something you probably already know. God's gifts cannot be bought, nor can they be sold. If you don't believe me, take it from Simon. Simon says, you can't do that. Again, it is critical that as we go on this journey learning about spiritual gifts, that they are just that, gifts. They are given to us, and we'll go into that here a little bit later on. They cannot be earned, they cannot be learned, they cannot be bought, they cannot be taught. Well, there are two places in Scripture where one can find a listing of these gifts in various forms. One is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we read through some of them. And if we go later on in the chapter, he kind of repeats some of those. And the other place is Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, which we're not going to get into that here this morning. But this morning I'm going to primarily look at 1 Corinthians and just a few of the different verses there. Again, not so much specific gifts, to help answer some questions about these things called spiritual gifts, which every believer has. Well, the first thing that I need to point out is this, that there are also abilities that we all have. Some call these abilities natural talents, and some call them skills. In the vernacular, we would say something like this. Oh, he or she has a knack for doing that, whatever that knack may be. In my analogy that I gave earlier about my work situation, I brought computer knowledge and organizational skills to my job. I have a knack for doing that. Well, I can look at two people in here, Mr. Phil Thompson and his mom, Cindy Thompson. They both have a natural talent for playing the piano and singing. Gail, my wife, who's not here with us today, she has a talent for quilting and sewing and doing that. Daryl has a talent for repairing cars. And most, if not all, the ladies in here, you're all great cooks, okay? You are. Everyone in this building has a talent or a skill for one thing or another, and maybe many things or multiple things. But these natural talents, organizational skills, computer knowledge, quilting, sewing, singing, playing the piano, they're just that. They're natural talents. They're not spiritual gifts. Even though our natural talents can be used in some way for the benefit of God's kingdom, they still are nonetheless not spiritual gifts. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you should already be there. We're going to look at some verses from this chapter to answer some very important but very basic questions here this morning. The first one, and if we have fill in the blanks in our bulletin, we're going to fill in the first fill in the blank here. And the question would be this, and our fill in the blank answers the question. The question is this: who receives these spiritual gifts? That's a great question. So who, if there are spiritual gifts out there, who gets them? Answer: only believers receive spiritual gifts. And how do I know that? Well, who is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to? He's writing it to the believers at the church in Corinth. And this chapter is addressed to the brothers, or some might say brethren, some might say brothers and sisters. And when we use those terms, we're talking about other believers. And also, if you really think about this, there would be no reason, really, whatsoever, why an unbeliever would have a spiritual gift. Remember, God wants our walk as believers, for those of us in here, to be effective and efficient. So believers are the ones, and they are the only ones, who receive spiritual gifts from God. Now, granted, we may know of some unbelievers, co-workers, family members, whoever, who are great teachers, and unbelievers who can be very encouraging, both of which are spiritual gifts. And many people possess such qualities. Well, we're going to talk more about that next week. So just kind of hold that thought. So moving on to our second fill in the blank here in the bulletin, let's ask this question. Who gives us these spiritual gifts? And the answer is, there's two blanks there, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. If we go to verse 11, which we read here earlier, it says that all these work for one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one. Who does? The Holy Spirit gives them. They are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are gifts. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts, and hinged right on the end of that would be our next fill in the blank, and I kind of want to put the two of these together. What gift or gifts do we receive? This is interesting. Also answered by verse number 11. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts we receive. That would be our third fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts we receive. The King James Version, if you have a King James Bible, it uses the word wills. The Holy Spirit wills what gifts we receive. Now, if you're sitting in here and you are a believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. Probably, and maybe multiple ones. There's a saying that I learned early in my Christian walk. It says this, that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And He gives you what you need, what I need, for whatever situation you may be in, whatever church situation you might be in. And everybody's situation is going to be different. So allow me to repeat, because I need to make sure that this sinks in. They are not earned, and they are not learned, and they are not bought, and they are not taught. Why? Because they're gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit as He determines. Now, here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to dedicate one entire sermon message on the gift called speaking in tongues. We've all heard about it. You may have seen it on TV. You may have even known some people who do that. Let me set the tone right now for that message. There are those in certain Christian movements who will say that people like me and other people like me are not true Christians because I do not speak in tongues. Let me say this. If you believe that, you just made a complete mockery out of what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 just says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us very clearly that the Spirit of God gives gifts as He determines for the sake of the body. More on this in a few weeks ahead. So, that ought to arouse your interest a little bit. Oh, I can't wait till He speaks on this tongue thing. Yeah, this ought to be good. It's going to be good. And here's a very common question I hear. Let's get back to the issue at hand. Well, Mike, how do I know what spiritual gifts I might have? Well, I'm going to give you three possible answers how you can determine what spiritual gifts you may have. One way is that the church that I used to be a part of, believe it or not, we used to give a test. We gave a test. And there was about 100 questions on the test. And each answer you rated from 1 to 5. 1, no, I don't do that. Or 5, yeah, I'm really interested in that. And if you went through and answered all these questions by the time you got done with this test, it would evaluate your answers and let you know, hey, this gal or this guy, they're kind of leaning in this direction with this gift or with that gift. Well, that at least gets you started in the right direction. Unfortunately, I don't have any of those tests here. But let's talk about a second and better way of what gift you might have. And that would be this. What gifts do others see in you? Quite often, we do not recognize the gifts that we may have in ourselves, but somebody else might. There are people sitting in here this morning that I know, and I'm not going to mention any names and I'm not going to point, that one in particular has the gift of giving. One person in here has the gift of helping others. One person in particular has the gift of encouragement. And there's a fourth person in here who has the gift of serving. And I won't tell you who they are, but you might have an idea who some of these people might be. Me, I am certainly glad that people who can serve, that people who can encourage, people who can give, and people who can help others are part of the body here at Beech Grove Church. So, but there's a third way, and the best way, that we can figure out what gift do I have. Mike, I want to figure out what gift do I have, because I don't really feel like I have any. Well, yes, you do. You have one. Let me say this, and it's our fourth and final fill in the blank. When we use our gifts, or when we try to use a gift with the right intentions, they will never be a burden for us or to others. They'll never be a burden to somebody else or to you. I remember at a former church, somebody went up to one of the people in the congregation and said, "We would really like for you to teach the Sunday school class." And this person said, "Oh no, not teach a Sunday school class. I can't teach a Sunday school class." And they were right. It wasn't their gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this. "For we are God's handiwork," each one of us believers, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works." In other words, use our gifts, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If the Spirit of God, think about this. As a Christian, we need to think of it this way. If the Spirit of God is truly behind the gift that we think that we have, then it will always be in His power that we will do that task and not our own. Did you know that the biggest fear that most people have is doing exactly what I'm doing right now? Standing in front of other people. Did you know that? If you go to pretty much any list on the internet of what's the biggest fears people have, spiders is up there and heights is up there, which, yes and yes. But the biggest one is standing in front of people. And I guarantee some of you who aren't used to doing that, if I would just call you up here right now, you'd say, like Moses, "Send somebody else, please. Send somebody else. I'm not getting up here." Well, and people have asked me, "Mike, don't you get nervous when you get up here in front of the people and preach or stand in front of a large crowd?" Well, let me share my first preaching experience with you. I was attending the United Methodist Church in Verona, and I had just recently got saved, and the pastor asked me to get up in front of the congregation, which was about 200 people, and give my testimony. Do you know what happens to a person the week before they have to get up here and stand? The stomach starts nodding. You start getting nervous, and as the days get closer, you start getting more nervous. I got to get up in front of all those people. And I remember I was sitting right in the first pew because I knew he was going to ask me to come on up. And when he asked me to come on up, I got behind that pulpit and I kind of put my hands here. And this overwhelming peace just went right down me. And it was like, "Mike, I think this is where you need to be. I think this might be a gift that the Lord has given you." And I haven't had any episodes of anxiety or anything since. But what I'm trying to say is this: when you have the gift of doing whatever it is, it's easy to do because it's the Spirit of God that's living within you that's helping you do it. On the other hand, there are some people that we all might know who want to be everything to everybody. And let me assure you, my friends, that going to the other extreme, that's not biblical either. Because 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says this: "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but how many?" Many, many parts, made up of many parts. You, me, just by ourselves, we cannot be the body by ourselves. And that's next week's sermon. We're going to talk more about the body. And that verse also tells us this: for the person who thinks I have every spiritual gift that was ever imagined, that verse tells us this. Number one, that no person has all the gifts, okay, because that's scriptural. And then number two, when a person tries to do everything, I guarantee this, that they'll be really, really bad at one or more of those things, because what happens is you're trying to use that gift under your own power and not the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you're trying to use a gift that you really don't have, and you try to do it under your own power. I remember back, it's been 8 years now. You know, I just passed on my 8-year anniversary. I've been here 8 years now, 8 years plus. Thank you, Beach Grove. I love it here. But I remember when they asked me to be their pastor, I knew what gifts I had, and I knew what gifts I didn't have. I'll tell you one gift I do not have, and this might kind of amaze you. Even though I have organizational skills and I'm OCD, I do not have the gift of administration. That is a gift that is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians. Praise God that there are people in here who do and make those board meetings go so much faster. Because if it was up to me to run that board meeting and have the gift of administration, would be in there like 2 minutes and would be gone. Because I don't have that gift. But I believe I'm right where I should be, because this is the gift that the Holy Spirit has given me. Well, the company I work for, let's get back to that analogy and we'll end with this. The company I work for, 40 hours a week, McClung Companies, over in Waynesboro, Virginia, they gave me the right tools to get my job done well for the benefit of the company and for our customers. And likewise, the Holy Spirit gave believers the right tools in the form of spiritual gifts to get our job as believers done well, effectively and efficiently. Well, that's all we're going to cover today. I just wanted to build a foundation. Next Sunday, we're going to look at God's purpose, which we covered a little bit, but we'll look into that intently next Sunday. God's purpose for us receiving these gifts. So let's go to God in prayer.